Welcome to this special edition of Cardinal Compass Campus and Community Conversations. In this episode, we're looking at highlights from the past academic year, including how Ball State students with disabilities thrive before and after graduating, how our university is helping to transform the village, and how our Studio 165 program provides immersive learning opportunities to students. I'm Ball State President Jeff Mearns, and this is Cardinal Compass Year in Review.
From the campus of Ball State University on Ball State PBS and Indiana Public Radio, this is Cardinal Compass, Campus and Community Conversations.
At Ball State University, we welcome you as a learning partner from day one. Our students bring creativity and determination to each aspect of the learning experience, from the classroom to the community. At Ball State, we help students turn an emerging passion into an enduring purpose. Our beautiful campus, welcoming environment, immersive learning, and collaborative culture provide the ideal place for you to pursue your journey to a fulfilling career and a meaningful life. We fly. Are you ready to fly?
Welcome to the special edition of Cardinal Compass. I'm Darren Cobb.
And I'm Max Robson.
On this episode, we take you through some of the highlights from the 2023-24 academic year, including how one specific Ball State Immersive Learning program impacts the Muncie community, and how the university plans to bring life to the village.
But first, hear about how Ball State is one of the top colleges in America when it comes to accessibility for disabled students.
Cardinal Compass's Tara Konechny spoke with alumni about their experiences with the Gregory S. Feuerbach Center and the benefits that come with this program.
The Gregory S. Feuerbach Center is a part of Eskenazi Health in Indianapolis and was created by Ball State alumnus Gregory Feuerbach in 2013. Its purpose is to break down barriers for disabled students and give them opportunities to complete a meaningful internship in their field.
We want our students with disabilities, like all our students, to get good educations and go out, get a good job, pay their taxes, and also be a part of society.
Carlos Taylor is a Ball State alumnus and now works for the Feuerbach Center. Taylor directly helps students get internships and provides accommodations in their new roles, much like Ball State did for him in the late 90s.
Being blind, there were times where I needed the assistance of a fellow student to kind of be my eyes.
And Office of Disability Services has been great to identify candidates to help when those times came up.
More than 60 students completed an internship this summer through the center. Taylor said many companies, after hosting a disabled student for the summer, find new ways to make their companies more accessible.
People think that because you have a disability, that must mean that you're not intelligent, you're not capable of doing X, Y, or Z. So I think it's also demonstrating to employers that these are college students that we're working with, earning the same exact degree that their non-disabled peers are earning.
Some students involved with the Feuerbach Center get hired immediately after their internships, which was true for Ball State alumnus Brad Millspaugh, who has been working at Eskenazi Health for 3 years.
Once you get to know the people you work with, and then they start trusting in you, and I mean, it helps.
Each year, the Feuerbach Center recruits more students from Ball State and 40 other colleges to complete internships and help them get long-term jobs. Tara Konechny, Cardinal Compass.
Joining us now is Larry Markle, Program Director of the Gregory S. Feuerbach Center. Now, Gregory, can you tell us Larry, can you tell us a little bit about the goals and ambitions of the Feuerbach Center?
Sure. The Gregory S. Feuerbach Center was created to ensure that college graduates who have some form of a physical disability, could be a mobility, visual, hearing, or orthopedic disability, to make sure that those graduates who meet all the same standards, qualifications for college graduation as anyone else, have real opportunities for equitable employment after graduation.
And then Larry, so the Feuerbach Center was originally designed just for Ball State, correct? But now it extends to over 40 different universities. President Mearns, how does that make you feel that something that was just Ball State centric has now just kind of grown to help other universities?
Well, we are proud of our leadership role in this area, but leaders also want to bring others along to provide the kind of services and supports that we do. So it makes me very proud that once again, in this respect, Ball State is leading the way in teaching others how to make their campuses or their organizations, their corporations, more accessible for a broad range of potential employees.
Are there any other specific examples of the opportunities the Fehrenbach Center has given to these college students?
Yeah, it's just some wonderful opportunities and so many stories I could tell that we don't have time for all of them today, I'm sure. We have so many partners. Eskenazi Health has hired many former interns for full-time positions in fields related to their majors, places like Eli Lilly, Cummins, Indianapolis Children's Museum, et cetera, have hosted interns from the program. But we've got some wonderful stories of Ball State students who've interned in the program. My favorite story is a guy named Brad Millsball. Brad, Ball State graduate in computer science, wanted a job in IT, did an IT internship with us at Eskenazi Health several years ago, wasn't able to move to Indianapolis for a full-time position that was offered for him at Eskenazi Health. So Eskenazi worked with staff at Ball State in CCIM and the IT department at Eskenazi to create a remote job doing IT work at Eskenazi here in Muncie where Brad lives. And so he works out of the Mad Jacks building downtown Muncie in a full-time position doing just great work in IT for Eskenazi Health.
And I just want to amplify something Larry said. You'll recall this started with just a simple, small partnership between the university and one employer, Eskenazi. Yep. And now it's blossomed to 36 institutions and most of the major corporations in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah.
So a small seed was planted and it's now blossomed into a program that's having such a positive, transformative impact on so many individuals and so many important institutions. Mm-hmm.
Now, Larry, this is probably a simple question, but one that's incredibly important. Why is the work that you and others do so important?
Yeah, and I think part of, for me, that comes back to my time at Ball State. So I worked in the Disability Services Office here for 18 years.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to meet thousands of wonderful students, and it was just so discouraging and disappointing when these college graduates weren't able to find equitable employment after graduation. The employment rates for college grads with disabilities are unfortunately lower than they are for students without disabilities. Mm-hmm. So making sure opportunities are available is so paramount for students, graduates with disabilities.
Ball State continues to be a role model for accessibility and disability services for universities everywhere.
In June 2023, the Ball State University Board of Trustees approved a development project in the Ball State Village.
The project includes 5 different sites where construction will start in the fall of 2024, with the project being finished by summer 2026.
We sat down with Randy Ruttenberg, the principal of Fairmount Properties, to discuss the first site of this project, a brand new performing arts center that aims to impact the Muncie community.
So I know you talked about the other universities that you worked with. What made you want to work specifically with Ball State?
So as a developer, we certainly underwrite the economics of projects, but we also underwrite the leadership, not only at the universities, but the cities as well. So oftentimes, universities feel like they're the 800-pound gorilla. Cities feel like they're the 800-pound gorilla. This is a unique opportunity to work with a university and city who are really in the boat together, rowing in the same direction. There's also the hospital system. They're also in the boat, rowing in the same direction.
Now, as you, again, you mentioned earlier about like the city specifically, and again, Ball State, what is something you want to focus on when working with us? Is that with the city and with Ball State, like those different community connections?
Yeah, so I think it's important to note that this project is not only about Ball State and its students. This is about having a much broader impact on the region. So it's been very important to President Mearns and others at Ball State that this project needs to be about the broader region. So the catalyst in this project is the Performing Arts Center. So there's gonna be this great cultural anchor that's gonna draw people certainly from the region. There's gonna be a great hotel that you'll hear about during this segment. There are going to be other things that certainly will have a broader reach. But the retailers, the restaurants, the service uses that you'll see in this project are not only geared to the students. Certainly there will be things for the students, but there will be things that will draw in the neighborhoods and the broader region.
And that's so important for the success of the project. Many years ago, probably a couple decades ago or longer ago, the village was attractive to people all across the community. And now it's primarily attractive to students and maybe faculty and staff and maybe some folks at the hospital. So our vision, the reason that Randy and Fairmont Properties is so critical to our success is because of the variety of projects or programs that will now be in the village, we'll return it to this notion of a multi-generational district that brings people from all across East Central Indiana.
Right now, what you see behind me is absolutely nothing. This blank plot of land sits empty for now, but come back in a few years, in the year 2026, a proposed hotel will be the newest neighbor of the village's existing businesses. It's a project with a $60 million price tag, and it's got businesses within the village pretty optimistic.
I think it's just a smart idea. And of course, you had mentioned earlier about jobs. And the more jobs we get in town, the better town we'll get.
But some also have mixed emotions.
For many years, Ball State has pretended that the village was not there. They didn't want to have anything to do with this.
Ball State University's proposed Performing Arts Center and Hotel is said to be a game changer for the school's Department of Theater and Dance. In this September Board of Trustees presentation, it shows that the lot at University and McKinley Avenue is where that $60 million hotel and rooftop bar will go.
There are some spaces here that definitely could use an update. It is kind of iconic for families who've been here for so long to come back.
Moore describes his tabletop gaming business as more of a niche store. Meanwhile, Karen Fisher is the owner of the Art Mart down the street, and she's seen the village evolve for over 24 years.
I'm hopeful that what is being said is going to be done, will get done, and not a whole lot more. I don't want to see this area become nothing but housing.
And if university officials play the cards just right, it could mean more people through business doors. Alex Almanza, Cardinal Compass.
Joining us now is Greg Shockett, the president and CFO of Shaka Hotels, a hotel management and development company. What made you decide it should be a full service hotel, Greg?
Well, first, thank you for having me on your program. It's delightful to be here with you guys and talk about the project. One of the things we wanted to do is we wanted to create an asset and an amenity for the community. And in figuring out what would be the best fit, we really thought having some food and beverage elements as part of the overnight stay would be a great addition that would attract more people to the hotel and make it more than just a place to stay, but a center for the community as well.
Yeah, and what kind of amenities can people look forward to? And President Mertz, did you have any say in kind of what you wanted to see in the hotel?
We have, you know, this is a collaborative relationship and we're really aligned on it. I mean, as Greg said, we want to bring people to the community so that when they stay in the hotel, they're not just simply checking in the afternoon and leaving in the morning, that they'll take advantage of the opportunities that exist on our campus, the opportunities that exist in our community. So having a nice restaurant on the ground floor there. Also, we're working collaboratively that there'll be a rooftop lounge and bar. I don't believe there's any amenity like that in East Central Indiana, which mm-hmm. we think will attract people after work.
Yes.
People who work at the university or work in the hospital might go there to meet a friend or a colleague. So those kind of amenities. And then, you know, many hotels have a variety of amenities that they need to build into the hotel because of the things that exist on our campus. We can provide those amenities to support the hotel project.
What are you both most excited for surrounding this whole project? We've talked about the restaurant, the rooftop, different job opportunities. What are you both most excited for, Greg?
There's many things. I'm excited about the project in general and the ability to create something unique for this community. But the other thing that's got me really pumped up is just the level of excitement we've received in return. When we're talking to people in the community about the project, everyone is just so excited about the fact that a project like this is coming, that's got us really motivated to make this a huge success.
And that's what makes me optimistic. This is a big project, and there are certainly some risks associated with it, but we feel optimistic because we've got two great partners, and we have a community, a city, a county, a hospital system, the region who is supporting this project. Students and faculty and staff are excited about, our alumni are excited about coming back to the village and seeing it restored to what it was like when they were here maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago.
The Ball State Board of Trustees approved the village plan agreements in late January, which gives the green light to start construction on the project.
The Performing Arts Center will centralize the Department of Theater and Dance, while the new state-of-the-art hotel will allow people from the outside of the Muncie community to experience what the village has to offer. Another way Ball State engages with the Muncie community is through the university's multitude of immersive learning programs, much like the one you are watching right now.
These programs offer real-world experience for students, and this is no different with Studio 165 Plus, an award-winning student-led graphic design program.
So far in 2024, two students from Studio 165 Plus, Anna McCreary and Cassie Pomirski, were featured on Graphic Design USA's Students to Watch list.
Cardinal Compass's Austin Sheets tells us more about this unique program.
Ball State's Studio 165 Plus organization has been the state-of-the-art student immersive learning program that aims toward collaboration, learning, and a positive impact toward reshaping the Muncie community.
Studio 165 Plus, while it's based at Ball State, really has a larger impact on the community of Muncie as a whole. We have a few projects where we've done that really directly. There is a sector called Building Better Neighborhoods, where Studio 165 Plus was able to create logo identities for a lot of different neighborhoods in Muncie.
The program helps students to gain real-world experience. It also prepares students to connect with real-world clients, building relationships, and helps them form problem-solving skills on immersive hands-on projects.
It's really cool getting this experience since it's different from like a normal class here at Ball State where you're mainly just doing your own design projects, but when you're in Studio 165 Plus, you're collaborating as a team and you get to work with real clients in the field, so it's super cool.
Pomirski is eager to learn more about leadership and gaining communication skills, but there is one thing she is proud of.
I've gotten so much better at making decisions quickly and just knowing like what my strengths and weaknesses are and knowing what other people's strengths and weaknesses are and just kind of like tailoring things to them. So it's been really great just kind of finding my voice and helping other people find their voice as well.
Ma Horder describes the major changes Studio 165 Plus has made since she graduated back in 2021. Such as different logo identities and current projects.
So that's really gratifying to see that the pieces that I worked on are actually continuing on throughout new members of Studio 165 Plus.
Studio 165 Plus hopes to continue to expand connections with building new projects with new members in the Muncie area. Austin Sheets, Cardinal Compass.
So what would you say is the inspiration behind Studio 165 Plus?
So, I don't know if I want to say that it's necessarily an inspiration, but it was more of a decision. I remember when I was hired in 2016, the then School of Art director. At that point, we basically decided that we needed a course that focused on industry experience. And courses like this already existed around the country in different design programs. So it wasn't a new concept, but I would definitely say that Studio 165 over the years has grown, and I've had the privilege of presenting about Studio 165 and our students' work at different conferences. I've also provided consultations, and I have been asked to help other universities or other programs that are running similar studios to help them grow. And that's when I realized that what we are actually doing is pretty significant and it's very different.
How has Studio 165 Plus impacted communities? I would love for both of you to answer this question.
So when I think of community, our community is not just the local community. Obviously, that's like the first community that we think of. But it's also our students, our faculty, our alumni. Let me see if I can talk about each of those communities separately. So for example, our local regional community or the community partners, if I would say. Our work, it's obviously research focused. We focus on student learning opportunities, but it's also result focused. Mm-hmm. A lot of times what happens with student learning opportunities is that because it's based on a semester basis, like we don't have enough time to provide results that might actually be helpful. And with Studio 165, because it's not so much focused on a semester, we can continue those projects. We can also focus on results that will be helpful eventually. So I think that is definitely helpful. Building relationships for the students It's learning the soft skills. As I said, like, I mean, it, design, personally for me, I don't think of design as just teaching software or a tool. It's more about like the interpersonal skills, time management, how do they work with people, how do they work collaboratively, not as a design team, but also with our community members. We have completed 7 years of Studio 165. A lot of our students who have graduated are very successful designers, entrepreneurs in the industry, and they really want to give back to not just the design program, the university as well, but one of the things that we were able to start this year is a mentorship program. It's a 10-week mentorship program where the alums who graduated, and it's not just Studio 165, it's from the design program itself. But most of those students graduated from Studio 165, and they are working with our current students to help them with like developing some of these professional practices as well.
Well, really so quickly.
So if I can just amplify 2 points. One is the continued engagement of graduates in the learning exercise for our students is an important part of the program. And also one of the other things I heard when I was in the community was sometimes when we were engaged in projects from the university that our friends and neighbors felt a little more like they were research subjects and that they weren't necessarily beneficiaries. And this is a perfect example about how a project that can be beneficial, a learning project for our students under the guidance of faculty, can produce real tangible, practical benefits for the community. So it's a win-win for all of the partners.
Be sure to keep an eye out for Studio 165 Plus's work around the Muncie community.
For more information about Ball State's immersive learning programs, visit www.bsu.edu. That is all for this special edition of Cardinal Compass. I'm Darren Cobb.
And I'm Max Robson. Make sure to join us this September for the next Cardinal Compass, Campus and Community Conversations. Have a great summer.
At Ball State University, we welcome you as a learning partner from day one. Our students bring creativity and determination to each aspect of the learning experience, from the classroom to the community. At Ball State, we help students turn an emerging passion into an enduring purpose. Our beautiful campus, welcoming environment, immersive learning, and collaborative culture provide the ideal place for you to pursue your journey to a fulfilling career and a meaningful life. We fly. Are you ready to fly?
Cardinal Compass was produced at Ball State University by students of the College of Communication, Information, and Media at the Studios of University Media Services. Cardinal Compass was produced by Devin Downey and Spencer Day. Special thanks to Sean Ashcraft for production assistance, the Department of Media, University Media Services, Ball State Marketing and Communications, and the Digital Core.